This project was produced by Belong Aotearoa with the support from the Jerry Mackenzie Trust and Planet FM. The series is an exploration of the employment journey for people of migrant and former refugee background in Aotearoa. It features conversations with people of lived experience and experts who share with us their stories and their own perspectives.
Morena, welcome to Pass the Mic. I'm your host, Shebnam Nisha, and with me in studio is our producer, Chino Gonzalez. I'd like to welcome our guest, Xavier Walsh. Good morning. Welcome.
Morena, Shebnam. Nice to be here.
Oh, excellent. How was the ride over this morning?
Fantastic. Just a quick bus ride away.
Oh, I like that bus. Now, when you were a little kid, what did you want to be when you grew up?
It was a bit buzzy because I was like scrolling on my phone this morning and it was like, oh, what did I want to be? And for some reason, I think I wanted to be a biochemist.
Yeah.
Which I don't do chemistry.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just really like the idea of like being in a lab.
Yeah, why not? Hey, why not? Okay, a little bit about yourself. Share with us your roles and research at the moment. What are you up to?
Yeah, so I'm the co-president of Unite Union, the hospitality union, and doing a couple of other things like with the living wage movement and Tohu Whakawhanaunga. But I just started my PhD in Māori studies looking at worker grievances and tititiri.
Exciting. So what is tititiri o waitangi and why is it of relevance to migrants and refugees?
Well, tititiri o waitangi is Aotearoa New Zealand's founding document. It outlines a series of duties, obligations, responsibilities between tangata whenua, that is Māori peoples, and te karauna, the crown. And so the interpretation of te tiriti and the Treaty of Waitangi, recognising that they are two separate documents with two separate texts, one in English and one in Māori, under international law.
Yes.
The Māori text is recognised as being correct. I am also tangata tiriti, so I'm half Sri Lankan, half Pākehā. My ānau migrated over here, and so I am tangata tiriti, you know, a person of the treaty, not Māori, who is doing research in Māori studies. Te tiriti is many things, but also partly an immigration document which allows us as non-Māori to be here on this land.
Tangata tiriti, what do you mean by that?
So tangata tiriti means people of the treaty. And so tangata whenua, people of the land, tangata tiriti, people of the treaty. And so people who migrated over here in some way or another are increasingly calling themselves tangata tiriti.
That's right. I'm a tangata tiriti as well then. Okay, let's talk about the articles. Can you give us some emphasis on Article 3?
Particularly Article 3 is, it's oritiranga, equality, but Dame Anne Salmon sort of talks about it being couched in the language of chiefly gift exchange, whereby the tikanga, that is the custom, value, and in some cases law, of two different peoples would be treated equally. And so we get sort of things like the Matiki Mai report, which talks about constitutional transformation, whereby we have two different systems of law and then the relational sphere in between, which is where we can all exist and create sort of this idea of sort of a third law, as Justice Joe Williams talks about, this idea of how do we move together into a direction that honours te tiriti o waitangi in all aspects and facets of society. The first law of Aotearoa being kupe's law, that is tikanga Māori, it's customary's law. The second law, that being English sort of derived state law, that is, you know, the Pākehā system, the settler system. And the third law is something that we've seen increasingly since about, you know, 70s, 80s onwards, is sort of the in a sense, merging of the two.
Yeah.
And so we're seeing increasingly te tiriti and tikanga being used in different aspects of the law, such as the Resource Management Act and how we, you know, build homes and deal with the natural environment and that sort of thing. So increasingly te tiriti and tikanga, these customs and values and our treaty are being used in that space.
How does this relate to employment today?
Recently, a couple of years back, the Chief Judge of the Employment Court, Christina Ingalls, spoke about that it might be time to replace the monocle, that is a one-sided system of law, one view, because the workplace has never been just one-dimensional. It has many different understandings. It's multicultural. It's diverse in all facets. So it might be time to replace this monocle lens with a pair of spectacles instead. It's time that we look at it from Te Ao Māori, the Māori world, as well as Te Ao Pākehā, the Pākehā settler world.
Yeah.
Tertiary hasn't necessarily been spoken about in the workplace context, like legally, as much as in other spaces such as land or criminal justice, that sort of space. So this is a space worth developing and understanding, but tertiary, in my view and the view of so many others, should be respected and understood in all facets of society, including the way that we engage in labour within our society.
Okay, so if Article 3 speaks to employment via customs and law, is that what we use to regulate employment relations in Aotearoa?
Oh, definitely not. No. Employment relations and sort of our industrial relations framework is very Pākehā lens driven. A very settler-dominated narrative. It doesn't mention tertiary or waitangi at all. One schedule it does for healthcare, but that's besides the point.
Yep.
But it's not mentioned. And when Margaret Wilson, who was the then Minister of Labour when this bill came about in the year 2000, they asked the question, like, how is tertiary or waitangi being honoured in this bill? And she was like, we consulted with Māori, and that was enough. So, you know, we've still got a long way to go.
Yes. Have you been to a lot of workplaces where you have seen tikanga being upheld?
In short, no, but I am aware that particularly within the public service, because I'm a private sector, you know, trade union representative, but particularly in the public service, they are increasingly moving in that direction, and I think that's a pretty good sign.
Yes, it is, isn't it? And so what would a tertiary future of work mean?
Now, that's really interesting, but also a tricky question, because I think it requires a lot of imagination and a lot of creative thinking, because oftentimes I feel like we're so stuck in the world as it is, and we need to move as the world it should be. And so how do we get there? How do we understand that, and what sort of tensions need to be moved? It requires people who are willing to put in the work and effort to imagine a work that is based, I think, similar to Article 3, in a shared future of reciprocity and mutual respect for one another in the way that we engage constantly. I think it requires a bit of a sort of shift in our thinking. So rather than operating in terms of contractual agreements, you know, I sign this piece of paper with my employer and then I must do this.
Yeah.
Is that how do we move to this idea that actually we can have a lot more mutual respect and reciprocity built into the way in which we do our work, in the way that all of these situations, including what I do research on, which is personal grievances, worker grievances in the workplace, how could that be a possible future?
So the way work functions now, what can we put in there to incorporate tertiary or waitangi into our frameworks?
No, that's a brilliant question. I think that requires, again, a lot of going back to that idea of imagination and creativity, because a lot of people have really great ideas. I just started my PhD,
yes.
And so that is sort of like one of the things that I want to sort of find an answer to. But at the moment, I'm not entirely sure. I've got another couple of years to do some more thinking on that.
Yes.
But I think there's a lot of opportunities for everyone to do that, to everyone to get behind this. This isn't just something for Māori to do and do all the heavy lifting per se. Tertiary or Waitangi is a partnership,
yes,
between the Crown and its representatives, which is us as settlers, as migrants, in different forms, and also as tangata whenua, that is the partnership there, that is between Māori and the Crown. And so it's up to both parties, that is all of us together in this nation, to sort of figure out what that could look like, what that could be.
And that is still work in progress, yeah?
Absolutely, it is. I suppose something initially, based on some of my past research and some of my past thinking that has sort of led me to now, is again thinking about the idea of partnerships versus those sorts of contractual obligations. You know, I go to work, I work for an employer. What could a partnership in work look like between workers and employers? And I think that, again, would be sort of engaging in that as mana, status enhancing and reciprocal relationships in particular, I think that could be a really important and a really good place to start. So I believe that, like, genuinely, that would create a place for meaningful work that fosters community and a sense of being. I think that for so many of our migrant whānau, particularly, you know, first generation, our migrant families in Aotearoa, New Zealand, so many are just, you know, surviving, but we have so many young people, particularly second, third generation, who are a lot more situated and feel a great connection to this place, to this whenua, to this land.
Yeah.
And so oftentimes want to thrive as well, not just survive, but thrive. And that doesn't mean that everyone is going to become like a climate activist and get a job doing that, but oftentimes young people want to feel that their work has meaning in different ways, that they're helping others, that they're engaging with the broader community in some sense. Because all jobs can do that, I believe. Yes. I truly believe that. I think that's something that we can all sort of work together on. Again, Te Tiriti is a partnership between all peoples, and here's an opportunity there.
And when you say foster community, what does that look like in a workplace?
So I don't think it's sort of your boss coming up and giving you a pizza party. Like, I'm going to be honest there.
Yes, yes.
I think it's genuinely like, how do we foster deep relationships? You know, like, I see employers who say, oh, we're all family, and it just feels a bit wrong. Because there is that sort of separation there. There's a healthy distance.
Yes.
But what could meaningful community be? How could we incorporate different sets of values and customs that make us feel appreciated, that again, enhance our mana, enhance our status, and further engage in reciprocal relationship building?
When we are looking at employment through the Te Tiriti lenses, how does thriving versus just surviving look like?
I think, you know, we got the news just today that the minimum wage is increasing by 1.5%, which is not enough, which is below inflation. And so we have coming from the top, you know, that's the minister and the government saying that people who earn minimum wage, which are predominantly women,
yes,
young people, people with disabilities, migrant workers,
yes,
you know, people on low wages. And so it is telling us that your labour, your work is not good enough and you don't deserve as much. And I think that there's something there to be understood, that genuinely all of us deserve to have decent work that's good wages, good representation in the workplace,
yes,
unions, join your union, and so different other facets of work. You know, are we environmentally polluting, or are we bettering the environment? Like, what can we do around us? And that can also include the community. What is the community environment as well? Are we enhancing it, or are we diminishing it?
So do you think Te Tiriti or Waitangi can help foster meaningful work that fosters community?
I mean, why not? Like, I think going back, you know, looking at this hikoi that marched from the top of the North Island down to Parliament, we saw outside of Parliament 50,000 people,
yeah,
from all communities. We saw a migrant communities. I think I saw a Filipinos for the Te Tiriti sign.
Yes.
We saw church groups. We saw trade unions. We saw community groups. We saw people with their dogs and their kids.
Yes.
Everyone came out, and not everyone wasn't just Māori, but everyone came out for that event. I think that really shows that a lot of people really have a lot of faith and trust and care in this. And it's not just a document, it's a living relationship, it's a living agreement. And so a lot of people really believe this and believe in it. And so I think that's really powerful.
That is awesome, actually. I agree with that. That kind of brought out the whole community, and it did foster togetherness, eh? So that hikoi was really awesome. Right? It was so great to see. Do you think diverse workplaces grounded in Te Tiriti could help connect our different communities in Aotearoa?
Well, I definitely think so. I think the topic of social cohesion has come up quite a bit in recent years, particularly after March 15th, 2019,
yeah,
in Christchurch.
Yeah.
Migrants are normal people just like the rest of us. We're all just people, and it's really important that we try to build community in whatever way we can. And we're all just trying to get by, especially currently, you know, cost of living, everyone's struggling. It's so important that we just embrace each other and again show unity with one another. So because all of us live in this society which in one way or another, makes us contribute our labour, makes us work, whether that be unpaid labour in the home or in our communities, or that be paid labour, you know, by going to your office job or by being a cleaner, by anything, by being security, working in the supermarket, anything. Every job is important to our society.
Yes.
But again, we all work in very multicultural workplaces and everyone is really human. I think there's an opportunity there to just continue fostering community in some way.
You talk about the world as it should be. What would you like to see different?
Well, for one, again, going back to the minimum wage, it should be enough to live off. It should be a living wage.
Yes.
We should all have enough in our society to thrive, not just survive. There are so many different things that we could do. But when our work and our ability to just pay our bills is limited because those are the top, or we have bad employers, or, you know, people are engaging in migrant exploitation. We've all heard horror stories. The bare minimum is that, but how do we actually foster something that is greater than the many parts? Mm. How do we foster a sense of broader community and understanding, a vision of hope for the future? And that isn't just up to me. I can't do it on my own, but it's up to all of us together to start thinking about this and start doing it when we figure it out, you know, we'll just do it. Yeah.
So you see, we've got all these people in the community right now who are on minimum wage, especially for migrants and refugees who are coming in, and we're literally just all surviving, you know, we're just getting by. How can we work and make this better for the migrant and refugee communities?
So the government obviously has a role in setting immigration settings and, you know, and with visas and all the rest of it. And that's really important. But also the many parts need to move. And so the Minister for Workplace Relations and Safety also needs to ensure that she isn't just setting a 1.5% minimum wage increase when that actually leads to real terms loss, especially for our migrant communities, our young workers, our elderly workers, workers with disabilities. It's so highly inappropriate. Yeah. And so the many parts need to move to actually make the system as a whole, including our housing ministers.
Yeah.
They need to make sure we have decent housing, affordable housing. This isn't just one thing. This isn't just about work. It's about ensuring that people have a good standard of living, a great standard of living.
Yeah, that's right. Our minimum wage just doesn't cut it, eh?
Nah, yeah. Doesn't get the mustard.
Oh, wow. Okay, is there any other projects you're currently involved with, and where can people find you after that?
I suppose you'll just see me out in the community, especially if you're in Tāmaki, Makaurau, Auckland. You'll just see me out and about. But I'm particularly involved in our hospitality union, Unite Union. If you're in hospitality, join Unite Union.
Okay.
I'm also involved at the Living Wage Movement Aotearoa, where we're trying to see that everyone get the living wage, which is so important. And then also to Ohu Whakawhanaunga here in Tāmaki, Makaurau. We're working on issues of housing, decent work, you name it. We're trying to work together as communities, unions, faith groups, community groups, coming together to make real change within our city and hopefully within our entire country, coming soon to you.
Gosh, Xavier, that sounds awesome. You're all out there. Okay, that's kind of bringing us towards the end of our session. Xavier, is there any last words that you'd want to share with us or share with the listeners before we finish up today?
Well, thank you all for listening. What I have to say is that people often get stuck in feeling that the way of the world is the way that it is, but it's by design. We created this system. We are part of the system, but if we created it, we can change it as well. Yeah. I think we can all work together to create something we can be truly proud of, to create something that benefits the many and not just the few. And that Te Tiriti o Waitangi is our future. It is both our past, our present, and our future. And together, all of us, including migrants, including tangata tiriti, people of the treaty, and including tangata whenua, Māori peoples, together we can move together to create a world that we truly want to live in, that is best for, that is driven for our children and our children's children, the next generations, that we can be proud to pass on something that is truly great.
Oh, absolutely. That is us wishing for our children here on this land too, yeah? And that brings us to the end of our Pass the Mic episode. Thank you very much for joining us today and sharing this space with us. We wish you have a wonderful day ahead. Thank you to all listening in today. And with that, we are out. Nā mihi, ka kite anō. That was our Pass the Mic episode. Check out the rest of our season dedicated to the employment experience of migrants and former refugees. Share your favorite episodes and subscribe to our channel. If you haven't already, go back to our first Pass the Mic series, which highlights a range of ethnic experiences in Aotearoa. Our employment season is a collaboration between Belong Aotearoa, Foundation North and Planet FM with assistance from Voice of Aroha. You can find the link to these organizations in the bio.
On air, online, on demand, in your language. Planet FM on planetaudio.org.nz.
Renee and George emigrate with their dog after the war. Return to their hotel suite and they unlock the door. Easily losing their evening clothes, they dance by the light of the moon. To the penguins, the moon blows, the Oreos, the five saddens, the deep forbidden music they've been longing for. Renee and George and Magritte with their dog after the war. Renee and George and Magritte with their dog after the war. Were strolling down Christopher Street when they stopped in a men's store. With all of the mannequins dressed in the style that brought tears to their immigrant eyes. Just like the penguins, the moon glows, the Oreos, the five saddles, the easy stream of laughter flowing through the air. Renee and George and Magritte with their dog après la guerre. Side by side they fell. Gliding by like Indians, time is cheap. When they wake up, they will find all their personal belongings have intertwined. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Renee and George and Magritte with their dog after the war. We're dining with the power elite, and they looked in their bedroom drawer. And what do you think they have hidden away in the cabinet cold of their hearts? The penguins, the moon, the Oreos, and the five cents. For now and ever after, as it was before. Renee and George and Magritte with their dog after the war.
You could have millions of things you don't need. Don't care if it's trillions, means nothing to me. Just give me someone whose focus is true and know where they come from. And
104.6.
I want two, three, four. One, two, three, four.
At 16, she quit high school to make a fortune in the promised land. She got a job behind the counter in an all-night hamburger stand. She wrote faithfully on to Mama. Now, Mama, don't you worry none. From small things, Mama, big things one day come. It was late one Friday. He pulled in out of the dark. He was tall and handsome. First she took his order, then she took his heart. They bought a house on the hillside where little feet soon would run. Well, for small things, Mama, big things one day come. Oh, but love is fleeting. It's sad but true. But when you
Nonga ki he leo peka. Tali mai vra mua. Tau tala furufuruala, tau lolongo furufuruala. Tau tangata furufuruala kua whanongonongo ki ai. Aho lotu, uafurumarima ke tae hola fitu he mga hawa fiafi. Ke uafurumarima ke tae hola varu.
In Auckland, just about everywhere, you can see the water and it has a lovely calming and invigorating effect.
Next to the ocean, wide open sea, cool breeze, lot of open space.
Hiking, swimming, lovely beaches.
Beaches.
I love the West Coast. I love being able to get in my car and in 40 minutes being in one of the most beautiful beaches in the world.
Loving Auckland.
Well, I love that it's such a green city. It's just so rich in texture with all the different plants and trees and shrubs. There are giant trees, more than 150 years old. You can touch the roots of the country, of the history.
I love the bush, the heaps of parks around Auckland that you can go and play in, and the libraries.
Loving Auckland, our diverse city. 104.6 Planet FM.